The gospel lesson for today comes from the gospel according to St. John. Recall that Jesus has twice appeared to his disciples, gathered behind locked doors. He has appeared to them and breathed his peace on them. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net into the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." This too is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been in a conversation and everything there is to be said has been said, and all the loose ends have been tied up, and you've even said goodbye when your conversation partner says, wait just a minute, there's just one more thing. And then they proceed to have with you a whole new conversation. Well, that's the conversation we are having today. John has said everything there is to be said, has tied up all the loose ends. John has even said goodbye. I mean, that's what we heard last week after John recounted how Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, how he showed the disciples and even the tardy Thomas his wounded hands and his side, how he breathed on them his peace and sent them out into the world just as his Father had sent him into it. I could say more, John says to us. In fact, I could go on and on. Everything that Jesus said and did could be written down. It could fill entire volumes of books. But I've picked out a few things and written them down for you, John says, and I have written these down so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The end, or so we think. Because then John says, oh, wait a minute, hang on, I nearly forgot. There's just one more thing. And what an important thing it is. Because actually John hadn't said everything that there is to say. John hadn't tied up all of the loose ends. Like the infomercials always promise, but wait, there's more. After his appearance in the locked room to his disciples, Jesus revealed himself to the disciples a third time, now at the Sea of Tiberias. Better known as the Sea of Galilee, this is a freshwater lake about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. It's well stocked with all kinds of fish. It was on or around this lake that Jesus did many of his miracles, maybe 18 of his 33 recorded miracles. Here on the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus was at home. He was in familiar territory, as were his disciples, many of whom had come from neighboring villages. Gathered together that evening were 7 of Jesus' disciples, namely Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of the disciples. But that's 7. There are now 11 living disciples. Where are the others, one wonders? As with Thomas's previous unexplained absence, attendance at disciples' meetings was apparently not always 100%, which leads me to thinking that maybe discipling wasn't a full-time job. Now that we have children in the house, I'm learning that adulting is a full-time job, requires putting on pants every day and going out and getting after the work. Maybe some of Jesus' disciples decided they'd just go back to the office. Or maybe some of them put in for time off. But maybe, as seems likely, the disciples just weren't sure what it was they were to do. And for all of its wonder and power and amazement, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead did not provide a lot of answers. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead seems to have raised only new questions. Questions like, well, what now? What is it we're supposed to be doing? Where do we go from here? What is our identity? What is our task? What is our job? Jesus had been raised from the dead, and sure, he had appeared to them a couple of times, but apart from breathing his peace on them and sending them out into the world the way his Father had sent him, Jesus had actually not issued very clear instructions regarding his plan of action. And so, because nature abhors a vacuum, and in the absence of clearer instructions, Peter announced that he was going fishing. And the other 6 decided that they would join him, which on the one hand makes perfect sense. Fishing wasn't merely a hobby for Peter, a pleasant way to pass the time while he waited for further instructions. Fishing, recall, had been his job, his profession, his livelihood. He had spent much of his lifetime fishing on the waters of the sea. Going fishing then meant going back to something he knew, returning to something familiar, something that at least would structure his life and let him focus on something other than the questions that must have been buzzing around in his already impetuous mind since he had gone to the tomb early on the first day of that week and found it empty. And then seeing the risen Jesus, maybe Peter needed to fish in this brand new world inaugurated by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Fishing at least was something he could get his hands on and his head around, especially now that there were so many unanswered questions. So Peter and the other disciples, many of whom, like the sons of Zebedee, were professional fishermen, set out in the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Now, it might simply have been a bad night for fishing. If you're a fisher person, you know that sometimes that's how it goes. But I don't think so. I don't think it was just a bad night for fishing. I think it's a sign. A sign that tells us something. Maybe it's a sign that trying to go back, trying to return to pre-resurrection life as if nothing had changed, as if everything was exactly the same as it had been, well, that's going to come up empty. Just as empty as the nets that they had cast over and over again that night. You can't just go back to the familiar, to your routine, to the way life used to be in the face of resurrection. Because resurrection means new life, a different life. Life lived according to some familiar contours, but life nonetheless lived in an entirely different dimension. Life lived with new questions and new possibilities raised. But all of that happens in the dark of the night. After daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach watching the unfruitful fishing expedition. As he had done once before, Jesus now tells his disciples where it is that they will find fish. And sure enough, when they cast the net one more time, it was so full of fish that the disciples had a hard time pulling it in. And when they finally got to shore, they found Jesus there making breakfast, a breakfast of bread and fish. And when they counted the miraculous catch, there were exactly 153 fish in the net. And then when breakfast was over, Jesus turned to Simon Peter and he asked him a question. "Simon, son of John," Jesus said, "do you love me more than these?" It was an awkward question, at least for Peter, whom Jesus had singled out in front of his friends. But given the way Peter had denied Jesus a few weeks ago, maybe Peter had it coming. "Sure, Jesus," Peter says, "you know that I love you, but hey, how about those rangers?" Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A few minutes later, Jesus asked the same question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter gave the same answer, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Heck, I just jumped out of a fishing boat to come to you, leaving behind my friends to do the heavy lifting. I jumped out of that boat to get to you. Yes, I would say that I love you. Now cut it out. Let's not ask such silly questions." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Which hurt hurt Peter deeply, so he tried a slightly different tack. "Lord," Peter said, "you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, some scholars think that because he had denied Jesus three times, Jesus had to ask Peter three times about his love for him in order to restore him, to reinstate him, to reinstall Peter as the leader of the band of disciples. Maybe, but since it's Jesus, once would have been more than enough. What may be less interesting as a theory, but equally important, is the thrice repeated command to feed Jesus' sheep. I think this was Jesus' way of giving very clear instructions about what it was the disciples were to do next, how it was that they were to live in this post-resurrection world. Because now there would be no more fishing trips, no more sailings on the Sea of Tiberias, or struggling with the nets and catches only to come up empty. There would be no more of the familiar, the settled, the routine. This was a new day. This was resurrection life. And from here on out, Jesus himself would supply the catch, gathered up in the nets of God's love. From now on, there were lambs to be tended on behalf of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. From now on, there were sheep to be fed in the name of the Good Shepherd who gives his life for the sake of the sheep. Jesus was preparing to leave his friends and his followers, and he wanted them to know that they had work to do. I say this because I am preparing to leave you, my friends and followers. A little over a week ago, our district superintendent called me to say that there was a church in the area that needed a pastor. And maybe the pastor they needed was a pastor like me. And so she asked if I would consider going. The church has a membership very similar in size to that of this chapel and the upper room. The church has a broad theology and a deep history, like ours. It is an inclusive church made up of white people and black people, of Filipinos and Hispanics. Like us, this church is committed to traditional forms of worship that equip the saints for service and mission to the community and indeed to the broader world. This church is like us in many respects. The difference is that here I am one pastor among many, talented, gifted preachers and pastors. There I will be the only pastor. And so it is with both joy and sadness that I share with you today that I have agreed to go and to be the pastor of Cochrane Chapel, United Methodist Church. I agreed, even though I am reluctant to leave this place that I have called my church home since 1994, because, as Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." I sense that, like Peter, Jesus is calling me away from people and places that I know and love. I sense that Jesus is calling me away from the structures and routines that have become familiar, that Jesus is calling away from my fishing to feed sheep and tend lambs in a new flock. Until my departure, there will be questions, uncertainties, even anxiety, and I assure you that I experience all of those with you, because a lot of your questions are mine as well. I am in conversation with church leaders about who might best serve you as your next preacher and pastor. And I hope that whoever that is will be as blessed as I have been to lead you in worship, to break with you the bread of life, and share with you the journey of faith. But in the meantime, my friends, God has work for us to do. And if we love Jesus more than these, more than our memories, more than our felt needs, more than what might yet still be among us, then we will embrace the joyful task that Jesus gives, the work of tending lambs. Let's not go fishing, friends. Let's feed sheep. Oh, and just one more thing. Thank you for the privilege of being your pastor.